you've seen me here. I normally sit just before the half pew on this side over here. The whole family's taking my pew. All right, I'll let you stay there. Many of you are also probably wondering, God, he talks funny. Well, as you can tell, I'm not from these parts. I was born and raised in the South, in your older twin sister state, Arkansas. And if any of y'all want to have me explain what I mean by twin sister state, I'll be happy to do that as you're coming down the hall. I am a United Methodist clergy, but am a member of St. Michael's here. I am a chaplain at St. John Hospital and Medical Center, so maybe some of you have seen me walking the halls, and talking with the patients and their families, and maybe some of y'all have been the fortunate one that have visited with me in my journey through that hospital. And I want to thank Reverend Mariana for inviting me to come and speak and give the message this morning in the pulpit. Who doesn't love to read or hear a good poem? Or how many of us are good at writing poems? And I didn't inherit that gene. Roses are red, violets are blue, my heart aches for you. And that's as far as I can get. And I got a disgruntle in that one. Okay. I told you I wasn't good at it. Many a poets have written poems on the subject of love. Henry Alfred's poem entitled You and I speak of the love of companionship. My hand is lonely for your clasping, dear. My ears tired waiting for your call. I want your strength to help, your laugh to cheer. Heart, soul, and senses need you on and all. I droop without your full, frank sympathy. We ought to be together, you and I. We want each other so to comprehend the dream, the hope, things planned or seen or wrought. Companion, comforter, guide, and friend, as much as love asks love, does thought asks thought. Life is short, so fast the lone hours fly. We ought to be together, you and I. Or Leigh Hunt's poem entitled Jenny Kissed Me. Jenny kissed me when we met, jumping from the chair she sat in. Time, you thief, who love to get sweets into your list, put that in. Say I'm weary, say I'm sad. Say that wealth and health have missed me. Say I'm growing old, but add. Jenny kissed me. Or an anonymous poem entitled A Redneck Poem. It's a redneck love poem. Being a southerner redneck, I totally get this one. Susie Dunn fell in love. She planned to marry Joe. She was so happy about it all. She told her pappy so. Pappy told her, Susie gal, you'll have to find another. I just as soon your ma not know. But Joe is your half-brother. So Susie put aside her Joe and planned to marry Will. But after telling Pappy this, he said, there's trouble still. You can't marry Will, my gal, and please don't tell your mother. But Will and Joe and several more, I know, is your half-brother. But Mama knew and said, my child, just do what makes you happy. Marry Will or marry Joe. You ain't no kin to Pappy. I didn't say they were perfect love, okay? Just love. Poems speak of life and love to us. Poets share thoughts that we all wish we could say about a love or a situation in life that either brings us joy or disappointments or laughter. Laughter that even makes us wonder later, should we have laughed at that one? In the Old Testament, we read the Song of Solomon, also called the Song of Songs, which contains some of the most beautiful and yet evocative poetry in the Bible. The Song of Solomon is a collection of 24 to 32 poems that have the consistent theme of love. The love that God reveals through God's empowering, gracious, unconditional, and forgiving love for us and all His creation. The presence of such a book in the Bible has troubled many people, leading to a wide range of interpretations that describes love. Not too many pastors preach from the book in fear of setting off a storm of controversies. That didn't bother me any, and you can tell I just read the redneck poem of love, so. In Judaism, it is tradition that the Song of Solomon is read at Passover because it is understood to express the love of Yahweh for Israel, who was called out of bondage in Egypt and into a productive new life in the Promised Land. In Christianity, the love is talked about is the Song of Solomon's speaking to us between Christ and God and the love that He shares. I had a professor in seminary at Memphis Theological in Memphis, Tennessee, who taught courses on homiletics and worship. And he loved to discuss the Song of Solomon, almost to the point where we started to worry about the man. He told the class that it would be interesting to him to have this book read at a wedding and or a funeral. At a wedding, he would love to read it and see how long it would take the father of the bride to yank his daughter out of the church. At funerals, he would love to see the reaction of the congregation as it's being read. In fact, he wanted the whole congregation to read it in unison at his funeral, so he could see all the hairs on everybody's head stand on end from a heaven's perspective. I didn't go to his funeral. I didn't get a chance. And so I don't know if it was read at his funeral. And besides, I don't have much hair to stand on end anyway. I don't believe I would want it read at a wedding, and I sure don't want it read at my funeral. But as we studied the Song of Solomon in seminary, we came to see it as a dream of love between God and us. The love that is embracing, the love which is deep, the love that is assuring. Have you ever been away from a person you deeply love for a length of time? Oh, how you ached for that time of separation. Those were probably the longest days or months or maybe even a year of your life. You longed to see their eyes, to hear their voice, to feel their hand in yours, to hold them in your embrace. But most of all, you miss their simple companionship. Companionship is not only the ability to share deep and intimate thoughts with each other, but also to share the lighter moments in life. Oh, how you longed for their companionship. I remember when my late wife and I were dating. She did a 3-month mission work. It was the longest 3 months of my life. I'm going through a new time of separation now since her passing. One that's going to take a little longer than 3 months. But when she returned from her mission work, there was excitement in my heart. I couldn't wait. We embraced. No one had to say a word. Simply knowing that she was near gave me comfort. There was a calming effect that all is well. As we embraced, I knew that all is right with the world, and a peace settled over me. In today's first reading from the Song of Solomon, the crescendo of love heightens as the young woman anticipates her love, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills in order to be with her. God's love for us is like that. The love that calms us, that tells us that everything is going to be all right. Love that gives us peace. And the love that says, I want to be with you. Not only does God's love give us a calmness and peace, but it also gives us a new life, a life refreshed. Verses 11 through 13, we read, "For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." In Palestine, the winter dumps heavy, cold rain upon the ground and the people. The gray clouds give off a feeling of despair and gloom. We're fully aware of hard winters and the clouds are gray. We wonder when the sun is going to return to share its warmth on us. We know how it feels on a gloomy and cold, cloudy, snowy day. But then spring ushers in a new sense of optimism, with its warm sun that calls forth life from the moist earth. With the arrival of spring comes the ripening of the figs, and the trees are filled with blossoms that become tender grapes. In Palestine, the migrating turtle dove returns with the warm weather. Here in Michigan, we see the snow beginning to melt, and the robin beginning to spread its wings. In my home state of Arkansas, we see the return of the mockingbird. We also see the return of the cardinals, the squirrels coming out of hibernation. We then know that all is new again. All of this life in nature creates the mood, the atmosphere, the feeling of lovers in love. Life is fresh and exciting. But let us not forget that God loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son into the world, searching for you and me. We can hear Jesus' words speaking to us. Come with me. Let me open your hearts. Let me make you anew. Be refreshed. Be redeemed through my love. C. Baxter Kruger, a Mississippian theologian. I will admit, we don't have too many theologians down south, but we got a few. Baxter Kruger now lives in Aberdeen, Scotland. And he tells the story of a time when he was reading the newspaper in the Aberdeen airport waiting for his brother to come from the States to visit. And he happened to notice a scene unfolding in front of him. I'll let his words tell his story. I happened to notice a dark-haired young man in his mid to late 30s. He was nervous, walking back and forth between the terminal door and the arrivals monitor every few minutes or so. As I put the paper down to watch, the door flew open and a few folks hustled through. The crowd began to disappear and the dad began to look anxious. Then it happened. A brown-haired little boy of about 11 appeared by himself in the doorway. Standing perfectly still, he scanned the crowd like an abandoned deer. I heard his dad shout something. The boy heard his father's voice and started running across the airport. The little boy's eyes were full of delight as he ran. His dad stood there with a huge smile on his face. No parent or grandparent in that airport could have watched without tears. In one motion, the boy dropped his bag and he jumped into his father's arms as his dad embraced him. They kissed each other and cried. They laughed also. But mostly, they just held each other. Watching through tears in my eyes, I heard these words whispered to me. Baxter, Baxter, there, there is the gospel. There is the resurrection and ascension of my son coming home from the far country. There is our embrace. And the good news is, he is not alone. He has you and the whole world with him. Baxter continues. One year in Australia, I told the story of the little boy in the airport at the end of my lecture. As I sat down, I heard a young girl crying, "Mr. Kruger, Mr. Kruger," as she ran down the aisle. Stephanie was her name. As she called my name, my heart sank, for I assumed I had said something that had upset her. She sat beside me in tears. As I hugged her, I asked, "Stephanie, what's wrong?" "Nothing is wrong, Mr. Kruger." "Then why are you crying?" "When you told your story, the Lord gave me a vision." "What did you see, Stephanie?" "I saw God on a throne, and there were steps everywhere leading up to him. And there were heaps of people all over the steps. We were all trying to get to God, but none of us could make it. We were all bruised and cut. Our knees were bloody. We were all exhausted, sad, and crying because we could not make it to God." I said, "How sad. Did you see anything else?" She said, "I then saw Jesus." "And what did Jesus do?" "Jesus walked over to us, gathered us all into his arms, and walked up the steps and sat down in his father's lap." We sat for a moment in the beauty of that vision. I gave her a kiss on the cheek and whispered, "Stephanie, that is the gospel." As we read the Old Testament Song of Solomon, we see the gospel as well. We are like the little boy in the airport. We leap into the arms of God, embracing and kissing the face of God. We are like Stephanie, who is being picked up by Jesus and placed into God's lap. For Christ is like a gazelle leaping over the hills, calling us to God's love. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away with God's love. Hallelujah, hallelujah.